Tonight's reading is from 1 Peter 4, verse 12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And it is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good.
One of the best things we do as a family is every morning at breakfast we read the Bible together. We use family Bible reading notes from the Good Book Company. And we pray for the world using Operation World, which tells you what's going on spiritually in all the countries of the world. It's amazing to see what God is doing. It's also distressing to see how our brothers and sisters are suffering all around the world. North Korea is the worst country in which to be a Christian, but it's pretty bad in many Muslim countries. Many Muslim countries are intolerant of Christians. Last week, we read about the Maldives, which is a Muslim country. You'd be persecuted severely if you belong to Jesus there. The reason I tell you this is because in the Maldives, to be called a Christian is an insult. And that's how it was in the New Testament. In Antioch, in Acts 11:26, the followers of Jesus are called Christian, and it's an insult. It means Christ's man. I wonder, have you ever been insulted and called a Christian? You know the old cliche, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? The believers to whom the Apostle Peter is writing, who lived in what is now modern-day Turkey, where there's mild persecution of Christians, these believers are suffering because they're known as Christians. Look at verse 16. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I was mocked a bit for being a Christian in school. My mother was a teacher, and her nickname in school was Jesus Jenkins. Peter says, if you suffer for bearing the name of Jesus, rejoice. I wonder, could you rejoice if you got a hard time for being a Christian? How are we going to do this? Well, four things. Be prepared, be joyful, be holy, be thankful. Firstly, be prepared, verse 12. Be prepared is, of course, the scout motto. It's a very good policy. The other morning, our son Robbie went on a practice journey to school. He'll be going on the bus to Hitchin, so he had a practice. He practiced getting the right bus. He practiced finding his way to the school. It's good to be prepared in life. And it's good to be prepared as Christians, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Very, very often, people become Christians, and everything is wonderful. It's the most wonderful experience in the world to receive Christ as Savior and Lord, to get baptized. You discover a quality of love in the church which you don't find in the world. Everything is marvelous, and then something goes wrong. It invariably happens. I always feel worried when I talk to new Christians who are on cloud nine, because I know something will happen which will challenge them spiritually. And at that moment, we discover, are they genuine about following Christ? Will they stand for Christ when things go wrong? See, we need to be prepared in advance for the fact that we will suffer as Christians. Peter says, do not be surprised at this. I don't know if you've read The Heavenly Man. It's the autobiography of a Chinese Christian called Brother Yun. I found it compelling and amazing and almost unbelievable. Brother Yun and his fellows are brutally tortured by the Chinese regime. And they see amazing answers to prayer. For example, Brother Yun is locked up in prison and his legs are broken. And he's abandoned with two broken legs. Then after some time, he gets up and walks out of his cell. And when he walks out, the guards don't stop him. And he walks right out of the prison. There are loads of incidents like that in the book. As I say, it's almost unbelievable. But I'm very struck by the way the Chinese underground Christians prepare for persecution in advance. They know it's coming, so they prepare for it. Peter would approve of this. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Expect to suffer as a Christian. Be prepared. Be mentally prepared. In China, they practice jumping out of upstairs windows so that they can escape from the police. The worst we will suffer is probably insults. Occasionally now, Christians are losing their jobs for following Christ. Perhaps they've spoken about Christ in work. If gay marriage comes in, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that I could end up in court if I were to refuse to marry such a couple. We could well lose our charitable status. We need to be prepared so that we're not surprised when suffering comes. Secondly, be joyful, verse 13. That's an interesting one. I don't know how you feel when people insult you. I remember once I was sitting in my study, preparing a sermon, minding my own business, quite happy, when the phone went and someone rang me up to say I was no longer their pastor and no longer their friend. And in the process of telling me that I was no longer their friend, they thoroughly assassinated my character. That's a summary of the conversation. My reaction was not brilliant. My heart started pounding as this person insulted me, and I started arguing back, justifying myself, standing on my rights. How dare they speak to me in this way? And so on. Look at how I should have reacted, verse 13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. I failed to rejoice on that occasion. Look at Peter's logic here. Rejoice when you suffer for Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Do you see, when Jesus returns, he will make a special point of rewarding those who've suffered for Christ. So on that day, there will be Christians from North Korea and China and Saudi Arabia and Northern Nigeria and many more countries, and they will be joyfully greeted by Christ and rewarded. And if you've suffered for Christ and borne it joyfully, you will be rewarded. Number three, be holy. Verses 14 and 15, and then verse 19. So when my ex-friend rang me up and told me what a dreadful person I am, I wasn't very cheerful about it. But Peter says, verse 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Jesus said something very similar. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. Do you feel blessed when people give you a hard time? Jesus says that those who are persecuted for following him will inherit the kingdom of God. Look what Peter says. You are blessed when you suffer for Christ because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Who is the Spirit of glory? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. See, when I was attacked on the phone, I should have not reacted. I should have trusted the Holy Spirit to be in control, to be resting on me, to be in control of the situation. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. That's an amazing privilege. When you walk into school, when you walk into work, wherever you are, the Spirit of God rests on you. I was talking to a younger Christian the other day who's having a hard time, and they were tempted to fight back. And I said to them, love the people who are hurting you. Pray for them. Give it time. Let God act. The Spirit of God rests on you. He's with you in this. He's in control. He can be trusted. He will resolve the situation, either in this life, or he will reward you richly in heaven. So be holy, verse 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief, or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. If you've brought your suffering on yourself by being badly behaved, that's your problem. That's your fault. God may still have mercy on you. He will forgive you. Christ died for all our sins. But as Christians, we need to watch our behavior. We need not to bring suffering on ourselves through bad behavior. If you're having a hard time in work, have you been awkward? I can think of one Christian who's always being rejected, they say, because they share the gospel. The real reason is that they share the gospel in a rude way. They put people's backs up by being too aggressive. I find 9 times out of 10, people are interested in talking about the gospel, provided it's done in a spirit of friendship. Provided the gospel is offered humbly. So we must be holy. We must not bring suffering on ourselves by bad behavior. Look down to verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. If your suffering is according to God's will, if it's not just you've been in awkward so-and-so, commit yourself to your faithful Creator, commit yourself to God, and continue to do good. Be prepared. Be joyful. Be holy. And finally, be thankful. You don't feel like saying thank you when someone smacks you in the face. Thankfulness doesn't come naturally. But we can learn to be thankful. Emma Bombeck, who is an American TV personality, said an estimated 1.5 million people are living today after bouts with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina, who had cancer of the nervous system. When asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. That's learned thankfulness. What should you say thank you for when you suffer? Verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. How wonderful. People know you belong to Jesus. You're a Christian, Christ's man. Isn't that a privilege? On a wall in his bedroom, Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, had a plaque with Isaiah 48 verse 10 on it. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He said, it's no mean thing to be chosen of God. He said, God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen, not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred. Fashion is destroyed. Strength is melted. Glory is consumed. Yet here, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. God has chosen you to represent him and to suffer for him. When I was a boy, I really thought I was going to play rugby for Wales. Obviously not football. And every week I would spend hours with my friend Christopher Shepherd practicing kicking, catching, passing, tackling. I would have considered it the greatest honour to represent my country. Well, when I got to about 15, I suddenly asked myself, why do I turn up every week to get smacked around a rugby pitch? I realised I wasn't going to represent Wales in rugby. I hadn't been chosen for that. But I have been chosen to represent Christ. I bear his name. What a privilege. Isn't it worth the suffering? Isn't it worth people laughing at you? You represent him. So be thankful. And then there's something else to be thankful for. Verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? In chapter 2, Christians, God's people, are the new temple. There is no temple in Jerusalem now. We are the temple. We are a spiritual house. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel and Micah, judgment begins with the temple. God purifies his people starting with the temple, starting with the Levites and the priests. In the same way, God will purify us. That's why we suffer. God is purifying us. That's what we get in chapter 1, verse 7. Peter is saying, if God's people need purifying, how much worse will it be for the non-Christian? There's a terrible judgment coming. Jesus will return. He will judge the living and the dead. He will consign his enemies to hell. There's a terrible judgment coming. Look at verse 17. If it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? We should be so thankful that we've been saved. And then in verse 18, he quotes Proverbs 11, verse 31. If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? It's hard for us to be saved. in the sense that we go through much suffering before we are finally saved. This is a sad fact, but we should be on our knees every day in gratitude that we have been saved, that we are safe for that day of judgment. I think my favorite Christian song of all time is "Thank You for Saving Me." Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. For we know your truth has set us free. You've set your hope in me. Mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry. God, let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. As you face up to the fact that you will suffer as a Christian, be prepared, be joyful, be holy, be thankful. And if you're not a Christian yet, understand what Jesus has done. He so loved the world that he's given himself to die on the cross in the place of sinners, sinners like you and me. He took my place on the cross. He took my punishment. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven for all my stupid mistakes and willful rebellion against God. This is why we're willing to suffer, because the gospel is so wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. Do you know him? Is he your king? Is he your savior? Has he saved you from hell for heaven? Has he saved you through his amazing death on the cross? Do you know you're going to heaven? If you do, isn't it worth suffering for Christ? Isn't it worth living for him? Isn't it worth living for him with all that you've got? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing privilege of being called Christians, Christ's men. Father, help us to live this out. Help us to live distinctive Christian lives so that people may call us Christian. And then, Lord, help us to be prepared for inevitable suffering. Help us to be joyful when it happens. Help us to be holy so that we will not bring suffering on ourselves through stupid behavior. And help us to be thankful that you have saved us from your wrath. Lord, help us to live out the gospel. Help us to share the gospel. We pray for all those who heard the gospel this week at Big Stuff. Please, Lord, give us a harvest. Please grant us to see souls being saved. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit our church to you. And we pray that you will be pleased and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.